At four? Top four. Four. Top four.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Cool beans.
Welcome, people. Talking sports to 12, man. Funny because every time I do the show, man, I always get a chance. So this is a brand new, we got a brand new switchboard, so I can fade the audio up and down. So it's always good to adjust the audio, kind of play around with things. But welcome, folks, to Talking Sports 12 Man. Yours truly, Andre, here with Robert Ford. How you doing this evening, Rob?
Doing great. Ready to talk some sports.
Love it. Let's see here. We got a lot of things to discuss, pending, obviously, the lockout. It's still the topic on hand, but I got some sad news. I don't know if you heard about this today, that Armon Gilliam, passed away.
Yeah.
He was playing with the Running Rebs and Phoenix, among other teams, 76ers, New Jersey Nets, Milwaukee Bucks, Utah Jazz. So that's pretty sad news. He was a great player, nicknamed the Hammer. Kind of sad that he passed, but he passed on what he loved, you know. So, man, end of an era, if you will. I think he was a young guy, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 47 years old. Armon Gilliam was great at knocking down that 15 to 20-footer. You leave him open, he was going to knock that shot down in the NBA. He was a solid NBA player for a lot of years. And prayers certainly go with him and his family, of course, during this time of tragedy for them. But definitely a solid NBA career, was a great college player, UNLV as well.
They're on your reps. And that reminds me, too, do you think there's ever going to be, like, another team kind of similar? And I'm not talking about just the on your reps. I'm talking about the whole genre back in the day where you had the Fab Five and – you know, he had the great Duke teams in that era. It's kind of sad due to what's going on with the one and dones. If there's ever going to be like another dominant team like that again.
Yeah. Well, I think you still have a few from time to time. I mean, you still have a few from time to time that just decide, hey, we're just going to stay together for a few years. And I know you know I'm a Tar Heel fan, and I hate to use the Tar Heels as an example. But if you go back and look at the Sean May and the Raymond Felton and the Rashard McCants, I mean, that group stayed together about 3 years.
And
even so, I mean, you know, you can look at that group. I mean, that's fairly recent in about 09. And even a few years ago with the Ty Lawson and that Tar Heel group, too. I mean, there were a lot of juniors on that team as well. So, I mean, it's still – I mean, you're still going to have some teams – I just decide, hey, and really the Tar Heel class is coming back next year. I mean, you got a couple of juniors and Ty Zeller, and you got the sophomore Harrison Barnes, you got the junior Josh Henson. So that could be another example. But I still think, you know, even a few years ago when Kansas won it all, they had some sophomores and juniors, some guys that just decided to say, hey, we're going to stick together and try to win a national championship.
Yeah, I'm fine with sticking together. I'm talking about teams that are, like, staying together for, like, you know, I'm talking about teams that are staying together for, like, you know, that were dominant back in those days, like the Running Rebs and the Fab Five. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm not, you know, obviously those are great teams, but I'm talking about is there ever going to be teams that were dominant back in the day?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Well, the Running Reb, I mean, that team, of course, you know, those guys stayed together all the way to their senior year, and that's you don't see that a lot today. They won the national championship their junior year, and their senior year they went undefeated and got upset in the Final Four.
I did.
Now, Fab Five, I never looked at that team as being a dominant team. They never won a national championship. And,
right.
I mean, if Chris Webber would have possibly stayed his junior, senior year, I mean, there's a possibility. But, you know, he left after his sophomore year. I mean, they went to two national championship games, which is incredible in itself as freshmen and seniors. But I don't necessarily put them in a dominant category just because they never won a national championship. Mm-hmm. And Webber didn't stay along with those guys.
You're right, yeah. Like I said, and maybe I was just thinking of that just because it's top of mind, too, how they changed the game of college basketball at the time, too. But, you know, nevertheless, the Running Rebs are definitely one of the dominant teams, as well as the Duke teams back in those days, as much as you hate to love Duke, but, you know, if you will. You want to recap?
Yeah, I'm not a Duke fan, but I give credit where credit is due.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of people like that. Did you want to recap any of the NFL draft, or excuse me, NBA draft, if you will, or briefly, or anything you want to talk about that since we haven't talked in about a good 2 weeks? Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, I think we can touch on that a little bit here. I don't think I don't think this was a great draft class, of course. Definitely don't think this is a great draft class. I was a little surprised about Cleveland going with Tristan Thompson at the number 4 pick. Had no problem with their other picks, with their other pick of Kyrie Irving. I still felt like Derek Williams was the best player in the draft. And I'm kind of curious to see what Minnesota is going to do with Derek Williams, Michael Beasley, and Kevin Love. Do you move Derek Williams to the 3? And just start all 3 of those guys, but they have a potential to be a much improved ball club in Minnesota, and they're getting Ricky Rubio from Spain. Mm-hmm. If we have a basketball season, of course, but I think that's the team. I think that's a team that can take a big jump next year. I'm not going to say they're going to go to the playoffs, but I can see them winning about an additional 15 to 20 games. And definitely making some improvement on that ball club. But I definitely don't think this was a impact player kind of draft. And I don't know if you're going to have a real difference maker from day one. But I think Derek Williams might be the closest guy to that.
I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are hearing exactly what was said about them. So it's going to be interesting to see who actually emerges from this draft class. Is there going to be, like, a lot of guys that you're going to look back and say, that guy was taken in the second round? Wow. And then also another thing you can talk about was there are a lot of international players that were drafted, too. So, you know, what does that say about the state of, you know, our league or the college system is that we're going out and picking a lot of players from overseas?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think it's a combination of both this year. This was a down college basketball class, and it was just so happened to be a good international class. Now, you know, the last 4 to 5 years, I don't know if you noticed, but the internationals have been we have not been getting a lot of great international players in the draft. Now, there was one point here from like 2002 to 2006, we were getting quite a bit of international players that was having an impact, you know, from the Dirk Nowitzkis, the Ginobili's, the Tony Parkers. But if you really go back and look at the last 3 to 4 years, a lot of international players have not made a huge impact in the league. I mean, there have been some role players, but you haven't found any, like, superstars come out in these last few years. So this is just the 1 year where I think there were just the international players were a little up and the college level was down. And so I think they had a lot to do with it. It just was not a lot of impact college players in this draft this year. And you had quite a few college players that decided to stay because of the possible impending lockout. I mean, Harrison Barnes was considered a top 3 pick. The guy from Ohio State was considered the number one pick if he came out. And
Players.
Yeah, you're talking about two players that could have been top three picks right there that didn't even come out because they were concerned about the impending lockout situation. And so I think that's another thing. You had a lot of players that decided to stay and, you know, hone their skills a little bit, get some good coaching. And the NBA could, I mean, there's a strong possibility, a very strong possibility we won't have basketball this year in the NBA.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that because we're as much as, you know, I know you may be a little bit more of an NBA fan than I am. I mean, obviously I'm a fan in that aspect, but it is interesting because we're kind of like, that's all right. But NFL is kind of like getting us, you know, really hot. You know, if anything happens with that, it's kind of what we're focusing on too. But the last point I got to say about the good points about, you know, players kind of getting some more coaching and kind of figuring out if they want to stay in the league. Very surprising as far as I got to say this because I'm a Georgia Tech fan and seeing Amon Shumpert go that high 17, that was pretty amazing for him to go to the Knicks. They called it at 790 the zone, which is pretty funny, but see him go from virtually undrafted to, you know, 17th pick to the Knicks, that was incredible. So hopefully he'll represent well in all that jazz for the Knicks. So that's my little 2 cents on that point.
Yes, yeah, a little bit of a surprise, but he's one of those kind of guys, that definitely not a great player, but he's the kind of guy that can do a lot of little things, and like I said, this is not a great draft class, but he's probably a guy that can be a role player in the NBA for a lot of years to come. I mean, plus
yeah.
He averaged over 17 points in the, you know, in the ACC last year. That's not too shabby.
Very impressive to see him do what he did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, 80% foul shooter. So he does a lot. I can see him being I definitely don't consider him a starter in the NBA, but I can see him coming off the bench and contributing for the Knicks.
Gotcha. Like I said, I told my father-in-law, watch out for Jim. Jim of the Dead, I think he's going to be a lot better than most people think. So that's my little muscle little thing that as well. We'll see how he actually produces in the league. So there you go.
Well, the guy has unlimited range. He can shoot the basketball. I still consider him as being a role player in the NBA, though. That's just my guess. I don't think he's a starter in the NBA. Just from the standpoint of, you know, I mean, anybody that's a real NBA fan will understand that you have to play defense to play in the NBA. And that's not necessarily the case in college. And if you can't play defense in the NBA, you just can't be a starting player in the NBA.
Well, my defense is outscoring the other man, so there you go.
Yeah, it'll catch up with you in the NBA.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out, too, because like I said, I know that's one of the things, too. I think he's a little bit more athletic than most people think, but we'll rest assured and see how everything plays out. Good deal. Like I said, man, time always flies with us, but let's go ahead and switch gears and talk a little bit about some NFL talk. And, you know, hopefully every time we've been carrying on the show, we keep hearing a lot of good things about what's going on with a lot of the talks. And the most recent news was that the lawyers are locked down and we're talking about hopefully getting a deal together that hopefully be worked out by early next week or by the middle of next week at the later. So if that's the case, what do you think is going to happen with free agency? Is there going to be like a nice little barrage of moves? And do you think that there's some teams already making moves, if you will? Not making moves, but kind of like talking to intermediaries and saying, hey, we kind of got an eye on you, or what's the deal with that?
Well, I think – like this story with the Houston Texans possibly having interest in Nnamdi Asamoah. You know, I think what's happening is these general managers, somebody is going to the media just to leak the story so that when the free agency period comes, that the agent and the player will know, okay, what the Texans are interested in is that's the team we need to concentrate on as soon as the free agency period opens up, because there's going to be a very small window to get these guys signed and in camp. And because they're looking at July 15 as a target, I mean, that's about 2 weeks prior to most teams start training camp.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be a small window. And the first thing they're going to allow these teams to do is to sign undrafted free agents. They're going to also allow these teams to sign their own free agents. And then that window may only be about 3 to 5 days.
Yeah,
and then if whoever is unsigned at that point will be unrestricted free agents, and you got about 10 days probably before camp to concentrate on those guys. So that's kind of the way I've been hearing it's probably going to break down. You know, as soon as the league opens back for business, the first thing they're going to allow teams to do is sign undrafted free agents and sign your own free agents that you want to keep. You have a small window to do that, and then you'll go into the unrestricted market. The guys who, of course, did not re-sign with their own teams kind of thing. It's going to be fast moving. I know most of these teams have already taken their vacations early this year, and just because of the fact that they know it's going to be fast and furious once the league opens back for business. So I think a lot of these general managers, all of these teams have had a ton of time, so you got to imagine all 32 teams are prepared for the guys they want to target and the guys they want to keep and things like that. So it's going to be fast and furious.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I agree with you. So I think they definitely have some guys literally focusing on these are the free agents we've been targeting because they have so much time now that I agree with you. It's going to be like a fast and furious pitch that they're going to have guys focusing on the undrafted free agents, and then they're going to have guys that are focusing on the unrestricted free agents, as you mentioned, and then guys that are focused on, hey, all right, these are the deals that we already had set up. Obviously based upon how, the revenue is going to play out. But, the teams that are traditional, the good teams that already have their stuff in order, like the Patriots and the Eagles that already have plans in place, I think they're definitely prepared to make these moves happen. So those teams will continually be ahead of the pack, I think, as far as being prepared, as far as who to offer what and where they're going to go. And real quick note before we talk about the free agents or before we talk about the draft, the tight ends and offensive linemen, I also had some interesting news regarding, destinations of some quarterbacks, too. It was interesting to hear about Seattle and Arizona possibly targeting Kevin Cobb. So those are one of the two teams that are definitely, they're talking about in the running to get the guy,
Yes, and I would throw in another team in the competition for Kevin Cobb, San Francisco. And,
oh, really?
So don't
be
surprised. And my personal opinion, I think, is really more so between San Fran and Arizona. But my prediction is he will wind up in Arizona. That's my gut of where he's going to wind up.
I think
that's what they're positioning. They addressed, they approached the draft with their mindset on they're going to get a top-notch quarterback. A quarterback in trade, whether it be McNabb or whether it be Kevin Cobb. And I personally think Kevin Cobb is going to be the guy in Arizona. And I kind of got a feeling that Donovan McNabb is going to be the guy in Minnesota and give the young quarterback there a year to probably develop.
I agree with that. Like you said, 100%. 100%. Yep.
And I think Cobb is going to want to go to a situation where he can throw the ball to Larry Fitzgerald as well. And so that's just kind of my prediction of where I think Kevin Cobb may wind up. And if that's the case, I think Arizona I know we're going to get into predictions a little bit here if we have time, but if Cobb winds up in Arizona, they're my prediction to win the NFC West.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that too because, Arizona, they've only been a quarterback away. They've built up – and granted, obviously, they've drafted some good players as far as running backs and Beanie Wells if he stays healthy and whatnot too, but – they still got to make sure their defense is fine. But other than that, it's still, like you said, I think they're one quarterback away of really legitimately challenging the NFC West because, Seattle wins being 8-8. That's just insane. But, I think they're here nor there, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, but I could say the same about San Fran. If Cobb winds up in San Fran, I can see them winning the West as well.
Gotcha. Let's look at this. So looking at the NFL draft, and we're going to recap some tight ends and some offensive linemen. So it's kind of interesting because, there was probably about, I'm trying to think here, about 15 or so tight ends that were drafted. The top tight end at the time was Kyle Rudolph coming from Notre Dame with the second round pick with the Vikings. I think he was picked second round, pick 11. I mean, other than that, there's like a lot of not really kind of no-name tight ends, if you will, but unless you think anyone else is going to make an impact, that's the top tight end, if you will, of the class. So anything you want to say about that pick or anyone else you want to kind of highlight?
Yeah,
if you will?
And really, he's the only tight end I think we can talk about in this draft. I don't think we have to waste a whole lot of time. I'll talk about Kyle Rudolph, and I'll give you a sleeper name in a tight end that I think might have an impact. And unfortunately for us, he's in the NFC South. But
I know you're talking about. But go ahead.
but definitely Kyle Rudolph is definitely the best tight end in the draft, pass catching wise. Minnesota gives them some versatility. They still have Ashanti Cinco, and so they can use the two tight end offense. We don't know what their quarterback situation is like, so you know, they're probably going to be a running the ball, control the ball team, throw the ball to the tight end kind of team. So I think it was a smart move by Minnesota, actually, going that route, giving them a weapon in the middle of the field, pass catch. It has to work on his blocking ability. But like I said, he could, as a rookie, you can still give the starting time to Ashanti Cinco until Rudolph proves his blocking. But he's definitely the guy, the best tight end, and definitely will be the tight end with the most impact as a rookie. Another guy I like, the sleeper, is Luke Stocker.
Uh-huh.
Tight end out of Tennessee. Tampa Bay took him in the fourth round. These guys got good size, good blocker ability. Wasn't in the best pass offense there at Tennessee, but I think he's the guy that could like I said, unfortunately for us, has been in the NFC South. He's a guy that can give Tampa Bay also a 1-2 punch at tight end, and could turn out to be a real sleeper in this draft and getting him in the fourth round. There were a couple of two or three tight ends picked ahead of him, maybe four, but he's a guy that I liked, and Tampa Bay got him in the fourth round. So he's my sleeper, but definitely I think Kyle Rudolph, the best tight end in the draft.
Wow, and that's interesting, too, because we were talking about, you know, I always wondered, like, why would you pick a tight end, you know, if you're, like, certain teams? But, you know, as you highlighted with the Vikings, I mean, that was a great pick because, you know, they're going to get – I'm assuming they're going to start Christian Ponder as their starting quarterback. They're going to give him an opportunity, I would say. So with that the case, they're going to do everything in their power to protect him by running the ball, by giving him, you know – short to intermediate passing, you know, opening up the field with, you know, Kyle Rudolph, and then, you know, obviously if they re-sign Sidney Rice, if they re-sign him and whatnot, I think they're gonna be a kind of a dink and dunk type of offense, which is gonna fit into a Christian Ponder's strength. So, very interesting move to see what they're doing. So, great move. And they definitely, like you said, added him to definitely help out with the running game as well. So it's going to be an interesting transition as well.
Yeah.
As far as Luke Stocker, too, like you mentioned, I know they've compared him to another Jason Witten. So that's pretty high praise, if you will. But that's who they've compared him to, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should be really interesting. You know, like I said, he's in our division. So I guess we're going to see if he turns out to be a player or not.
Yeah, definitely. We spend a lot of time on tight ends.
I guess moving on to offensive linemen. To me, there's one clear-cut best offensive lineman in the draft, and that's Tyron Smith from USC, went number 9 to Dallas. And this guy is going to start from the very first regular season game. I can promise you that. Right there, left tackle. The most important position on the field. And he's clearly the best offensive lineman in the draft. Definitely will be starting from day one. A couple of surprises, in my opinion. Mike Pouncey going 15 in Miami. I don't think he's as good as his brother. And I kind of thought he should have been like a late first-round kind of pick. He's a center, of course, from Florida. And I thought the Dolphins reached on him a little bit. And another surprise would New England taking Colorado offensive lineman Nate Solder at 17. You never can question New England. I shouldn't be questioning New England, but I actually liked Anthony Costanzo better, and the Colts got him at 22. So, in my opinion, Costanzo is the second best lineman after Tyron Smith, and so on. I think the Colts might have a steal there. Looking at Scouts Inc. grades online here, they actually have Costanzo rated higher than Solder and Pouncey as well, and so that might be a little bit of a steal for the Colts. Another surprise was James Carpenter, the guard, going 25 to Seattle. That seems to be a surprise. I don't know if they know something that we don't. that's just kind of my analysis of the offensive lineman. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, I mean, I like where you're going. I mean, the thing about, Pouncey was like, I'm sure if they kind of, if you think everything you talk about, they're going to be a pretty good team. I mean, that you add Pouncey to a line that already has Jake Long, so, right then and there, that line can be the start of something good. I mean, they're still kind of young, but I kind of think, Mike Pouncey is similar to Tyron Smith. You put him in there, he's going to start. I don't think he's as good as his brother, but, you can either put him center or guard, and he's going to be a dynamic player to me,
Exactly. He's definitely, I agree with you there. He's probably going to start. I just still think it was a slight reach, but if you really believe in the player, and you have to go with your gut too. So if Miami's, really, if they felt like that was a real need and really like the player, you have to go with your gut as well.
Gotcha. And you guys didn't really draft, the Saints didn't draft any offensive players or any offensive linemen, did they, in this particular draft, did they, or no?
No, the Saints drafted all defensive players except for Mark Ingram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I don't know if you want to highlight anything like that. Yeah, because I know we had, as a Falcons fan, we got Andrew Jackson from Fresno State, which in the seventh round, which is pretty ironic because we thought he was going to go a little bit higher, but... But other than that, nothing real, that's just being a Falcon fan. Like you said, Nate Solder, I agree with you. Didn't see that one coming, obviously, by the Patriots. But, who questions them? I mean, they've already had a couple of knees. They targeted this guy, and you figured, okay, they must know something we don't know. They picked him up that high. We got about 50 or so seconds here. But anything else you want to say as we wrap up? Time always flies when
you do a
show.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback off the seven-round pick by the Falcons. And, just for fans out there, for the most part, you're drafting an offensive lineman in the seventh round. You're looking for a guy that can come in and play, multiple positions as a backup. And maybe hope that you hit a home run on a guy. But for the most part, you're looking at a guy that can come in and be kind of versatile and can play multiple positions on the line and contribute. You and I were talking earlier today about the Saints 06 draft, about the four players they got in that draft. But another guy we didn't talk about was their seven-round pick that year, Zach Streif, offensive lineman. He's still with the Saints. He was an offensive tackle from Northwestern. And he's one of those kind of guys that you would hope to find in the seventh round. And he comes in and plays as a sixth lineman a lot when they go to sixth lineman. And so that's what you would hope for, that you'll be getting in Andrew Jackson with a guy like that, a guy that can come in and start in a pinch, but also can be kind of versatile on your line as well.
Wow. Great analysis from Mr. Robert Ford. As always, we always appreciate your insights and everything that you add to the show. But that's it, man. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Man, that's Talking Sports with 12 Men for this day, July the 6th, 2011. Once again, we're going to try to come out every Wednesday, talk some sports. You know, hopefully next week we will hear some news regarding the NFL lockout that is officially over. I haven't been able to watch NFL Network yet. Maybe catch a little bit of the top 100 players every now and then, but you know, I've been kind of missing that. So hopefully we'll have some news about that. We'll talk about some of the. I think we're going to target defense next time. Either defensive line or
defensive line.
Back
yeah.
We'll probably got that route yet. And I guess we'll go from there.
Hopefully we'll get into making, I know it's still kind of early, we haven't gotten a free agent yet, but hopefully we'll get into making some of our predictions per division if we have time next week.
Good thing as well. But yeah, like I said, everyone else, thanks for joining us. Talking Sports with the 12th man, Andre Peterson and Rob Ford. We'll catch you guys next week. I want to say that's the 13th. Talk to you soon.
Good night, people.
Good job, Rob.
Oh, man, we're getting better and better at this, huh?
Yeah,
we might have to start putting together some demo reels and shop it around.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Laura. Yeah, it gets better. I mean, like I said, you know, obviously once we get the ideas down as far as what to talk about, and I'll do a better job as far as leading, because for some reason I still think I'm kind of like there's like a delay whenever I'm talking with you, so I gotta make sure that I'm not jumping on your coattails or anything like that. But you know, it's good. We'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
Robert's got it down. I love it.
I'm trying to, man.
No, it's good. No, I kid you not. No, it's good because, like I said, it's just more or less like us just trying to, you know, whenever we kind of exaggerate that point, I'll make something and. You're pretty good as far as, you know, ad-libbing stuff and vice versa. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's fun, man. You know, like I said, 30 minutes goes by really, really fast. So,
it really does, man.
Next thing you know, we're like, that's why I'm like looking at it. I'm like, man, it's, you know, I was worried about having things to talk about. But, you know, at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
it always goes by pretty fast. Just real quick, you know what I'm watching? I'm watching the 1990 draft for the NBA.
Remember who went one and two? 1990 draft. Syracuse and Oregon State. Derek Coleman, Gary Payton.
There you go.
When you said the schools, that gave it away.
And then number three was Chris Jackson from LSU.
Wow. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yep. And then guess what? Number four, Georgia Tech. Number four. See if you know this one.
Dennis Scott.
There you go. Oh, man. They said that Gary Payton was a 9-time All-Star. That was an incredible pick, man. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Him and then Kendall Gill goes right after, I think he goes number fifth as I'm looking at right now. So this is interesting to see what's going on with this, man. But I was just tripping out. I'm like, man, Gary Payton was the number two pick. Derek Coleman went number one. Wow.
Derek Coleman was one of those guys that never lived up to his ability. I mean, mm-hmm. he probably made about two or three All-Star teams. But Derek Coleman was so talented. Man, that guy should have been a 10, 12-time All-Star. I mean, most people felt like he had the capability of being better than a Karl Malone. He just would not work on his game. And, you know, the 2-3 All-Star games that he did make, he made it off of talent. But if that guy would have really worked, I mean, that guy could have been a 10, 12, 15-year All-Star in the league. And, he was one of those guys. He and Rasheed Wallace, I think, they both turned out to be good players. But they both have potential to be great.
Yeah, yeah. Rasheed. Every time you say Rasheed, man, that dude, you think of him like his he's a little tyrant and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking
he
at the guy.
Never committed a foul.
Oh man, oh man! But it's just amazing to see. You go back in time and look at what's going on. Like you said, Kim Gill, and then Felton Spencer goes number six to Minnesota, and you see D. Brown and those guys, man. So it just takes me back, man. This is amazing to kind of see what's going on, you know. But you know. I'm just tripping out. So I figured you'd get a kick out of that being an NBA fan, you know. So
yeah.
You know, 1 and 2, Derek Coleman, just waste of talent right there, man. That's just downright messed up. He didn't use his talent, man. So anyway, but thanks for the show, man. Like I said, man, it's on next week, man. We got the we sort of got the format and stuff like that, and you know. We'll go from there, if you will.
All right. Sounds good, man. I appreciate it again. Look forward to it on next Wednesday. Hopefully we'll have some good news regarding the NFL knockout.
Yep. Like I said, we keep getting better every time I do this, man. So I am looking forward to, by the time we're like probably 20 shows in, we'll probably have it down, man. So,
yeah. We had a two-week break.
You're right.
And we had
right.
a 2 week break. The week before that, I was in San Francisco, and last week, I think you said all the shows are filled up or something.
Yep. All the shows are filled. So yeah, but I went ahead and booked it. So I'm trying to book, like when I book the one show, I'm trying to book the next week ahead, just make sure we get a time slot in there. So I booked it ahead, you know, for next week. So we definitely got that time slot locked in. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good, man.
All right, sir. Next week, have a good evening, and we'll talk to you soon. Obviously, you know, I'll talk to you sometime throughout the week, man. So all is well.
All right, Chief. All right, we'll catch up.
All right, have a good one, sir. All right.
All right.
All right, bye.